Late, Lost, and Unprepared, A Parent's Guide to Helping Children with Executive Functioning. Authors, Joyce Cooper Kahn and Lori Dietzel. What is executive functioning? The executive functions are a set of processes that all have to do with managing oneself and one's resources in order to achieve a goal. It's an umbrella term for the neurologically based skills involving mental control and self-regulation. The mental control skills that are covered under the umbrella of executive functioning are 1. Inhibition, the ability to stop one's own behavior at the appropriate time. 2. Shift, the ability to move freely from one situation to another and to think flexibly in order to respond appropriately to the situation. 3. Emotional control, the ability to modulate emotional responses by bringing rational thought to bear on feelings. 4. Initiation, the ability to bring a task or activity and to independently generate ideas, responses, or problem-solving strategies. 5. Working memory, the capacity to hold information in mind for the purpose of completing a task. 6. Planning or organization, the ability to manage current and future-oriented task demands. 7. Organization of materials, the ability to impose order or work, play, and storage spaces. 8. Self-monitoring, the ability to monitor one's own performance and to measure it against some standard of what is needed or expected. Development of executive functions. To set realistic expectations for our children, it is important to understand the typical or expected development of the executive functions. The development of executive skills is related both to biological processes of the brain, maturation, which is nature, and experience, which is nurture. This development moves kids from dependence on adult-provided structure and support to independent, flexible ways of thinking and acting. Some children experience delays in the development of these improvement skills. Some may catch up, while others continue to experience executive weaknesses as adults. For most kids who experience executive function delays, these weaknesses are likely due to inefficient communication among brain regions rather than any overt, localized problems, such as damage in one specific area. We do know that exposure to alcohol, certain drugs, or toxins during pregnancy, as well as premature birth, are all risk factors for delays in cognitive development. Kids who experience early abuse, neglect, or other traumatic experiences are also vulnerable to delays in development. Typical development. The preschool years. Infants and very young children live in the moment and push for immediate gratification of their needs and wants. They become more persistent as they begin to be better able to hold an idea in mind and to think beyond the distractions in their way. Toddlers usually remain quite impulsive, gradually increasing their abilities to make simple plans and organize their behavior and their play. To a great extent, this development mirrors the development of language, as words serve as the internal symbols that let the young child begin to think and plan. Elementary school. Once a child enters school, he is subject to increasing demands for task completion and impulse control. Children whose executive skills are developing as expected begin to think more flexibly about solving problems, although they continue to be quite focused on the here and now. As kids proceed through elementary school, they show steady development of their planning, organizational, and self-monitoring skills, and become more efficient when completing work. Working memory, which is the ability to hold information and directions for a brief period of time, also continues to develop. Middle school. By about age 11 or 12, most kids are able to independently manage the daily routine at home and at school. From about age 10 on, the more complex executive skills play an increasing role and build upon the impulse control and basic management skills that were developed at earlier ages. These include time management, sequencing more complex tasks, keeping track of lots of information at the same time, setting goals, and organizing tasks. Kids begin to be more effective at monitoring their own behavior and adjusting their approach when an initial attempt to complete a task is not successful. High school. During the high school years, growth occurs in the form of fine-tuning skills in independent planning and organization. Kids think much more flexibly and can manage more demanding academic work. Also, forming social relationships and fitting in are so important for many adolescents that they may show better impulse control and planning in the social arena than in the academic domain. Young adulthood. During the late teens and early 20s, people continue to experience maturation of the frontal lobes, with corresponding development of executive functioning. With experience and continued brain development come increased judgment, planning, and flexibility, all of which serve them as well as they pursue their education enter the workplace, or develop intimate relationships and assume family responsibilities. Assessment: figuring out what's wrong. One of the first steps in the process of helping a child with executive weaknesses is to figure out exactly what is going wrong. We need to generate an individualized profile of strengths and weaknesses in order to be able to develop specific plans that help the child and take into account the child's areas of strength. The characteristics of executive dysfunction are generic, meaning that they are not specific to only one condition or disorder. Problems with executive skills require a thorough assessment in order to understand and treat. We have to look at how the child is functioning and then use this information to make inferences about the underlying nature of the problem. How to help: the two-pronged approach. Parents and teachers have two primary roles in helping kids with executive weaknesses. The first is to help children to be successful in their daily lives. The second is to teach the skills and approaches that allow the children to be independent in the long run. If we only provide temporary supports, we may be reinforcing overdependence and learning helplessness. However, if we don't offer adequate short-term support while our kids build better executive skills, they may experience a range of negative academic and emotional consequences with long-term effects. Going the distance, building executive skills. If we only focus on short-term goals with our kids, then we are only doing half of our job. It is also important to provide the explicit teaching and the practice vital to increasing their executive competence. Long-term interventions focus on strengthening the executive system and building a repertoire of effective self-management skills to compensate for executive weaknesses. These interventions allow our children to be competent as they move out into the world on their own. One of the most effective ways of building executive skills is by developing habits and routines that eventually become automatic. Building habits requires repetition, repetition, and more repetition. Fading support. Once you have provided external support for a period of time, it is important to fade out supports to see if your child can assume these functions. Fading supports means that you gradually reduce the amount of external support to the point where you are no longer involved at all. To fade support, you might move first from doing the job with your child to observing and cueing as your child does it themselves. The next step might be to back off from cueing, but to ask to see the backpack and notebook after they are organized. Then you might move to reviewing this every other day, then to random checks. Building a life. Dr. Robert Brooks, a psychologist and author who has written about building resilience in children and adults with learning disabilities, describes the importance of helping people discover their islands of competence. Many of these children and adults seem to be drowning in an ocean of self-perceived inadequacy. If there's an ocean of inadequacy, then there must be islands of competence, areas that have been or have the potential to be sources of pride and accomplishment. He goes on to explain the potential that lives on these islands. If we can find and reinforce these areas of strength, we can create a powerful ripple effect in which children and adults may be more willing to venture forth and confront situations that have been problematic.